Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
President of the United States, Barack Obama, visiting Cuba for the very first time. His visit, but it's the first time a president has been to Cuba since, 88 years, almost nine decades. I believe the last president to visit Cuba was Calvin Coolidge, or at least was in his administration. And just a little information about Cuba. Cuba is located about 90 miles from the coast of Florida, so very, very close. Obviously, we've had some of our prisoners, terrorists at Guantanamo, and all that's happening mm-hmm. with surfacing, where it's probably going to go back, but we don't know. And there's a lot of history, a lot of things regarding Cuba that's going on for a long time. Political prisoners, you have Fidel Castro and the Communist Party who took over about 1965. It's been a closed nation. We've had no relationship. And here recently, during President Obama's administration, they've lifted those restrictions. They're opening dialogue. They've reset the embassy. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't known, Steve, whether the president would actually set foot in Cuba. Well, he did it. He's there. And it's a big, big push that's happening. In fact, Major League Baseball is involved. They're going to be playing baseball in Cuba and just a bunch of things. And right now, even more companies – United States companies are trying to get a foothold in Cuba. To get an understanding, Steve, they have over 60,000 vintage cars from the 50s mm-hmm. still in Cuba.
In operation.
Yeah, it's like a time warp. Yeah, it's like a time warp. 60,000 of these cars still there. The population, Cuba is one of the largest islands in the Caribbean. It has a population of 11 million. But President Obama touched down, I want to show you, 2097, touched down in Cuba, and kind of really, again, it's just the imagery is amazing because you're seeing some of the vintage cars right mm-hmm. there on your screen, while Air Force One, is flying over. And then you're seeing the first family step off the plane as they're being greeted and welcomed into the nation of Cuba. Many of the Cubans were excited. As you were watching some of the reports, many of the people were standing, in line waiting for the president to pass by, get a glimpse. You can imagine, many of them hear about the United States and have some information. But to have the president of the United States actually set foot in their nation, what does that mean? You got to understand that many people have not been able to travel back and forth from Cuba to the United States. Those who are trying to flee Cuba have done so in rafts and boats. Many of them have risked their lives. Some of them have died just to get the freedom, just to land in the United States, just to have the freedom that we enjoy. And just to see how in this period of time, things have come full circle to now we've actually had two presidential candidates, one who's no longer in the race, Marco Rubio, and now Ted Cruz, who's still running, Cuban descent. Mm-hmm. It's absolutely amazing. Yeah. What has transpired, what's going to be happening. And in this program, we're going to be talking about a prophecy that was shared by Rick Joyner. But I want you to see 2101. I want you to see the President Obama's him and First Lady Michelle Obama. They're attending a state dinner, and they were also greeted by the now President Raul Castro, who is the president of Fidel. Fidel has not passed mm-hmm. away. From my understanding, he's still ill, very sick, but you got to understand what lies ahead for our two nations are pretty interesting. There was, the Bay of Pigs, you had all this Soviet involvement, you had all these things going on in the 60s, and to see it come full circle right now, my understanding, Steve, is that hotels are trying to get, in Cuba right now, and there are certain ways that you still can travel to Cuba, but they're looking at loosing those restrictions so now anyone can travel there. And it's just amazing because under the Fidel Castro regime, this was not even a possibility. We had closed relationships with Cuba, and something interesting has been happening in the nation of Cuba. This nation right now, most people, the average Cuban lives on $20 a month, $20 a month. Food is rationed. And I believe they're allowed like certain amount of like five eggs per month, per family, certain amount of milk is rationed out to them. And many of the people are impoverished. But although they lack some of those resources, what we're finding out with a move of God that's happening there, that they're not lacking God. They're not lacking God. Yeah. Things pretty awesome are happening. But I want you to watch as CBN reports a little bit about what is happening right now in Cuba with President Obama actually there on the ground. Watch this.
President Obama is the first U.S. president to visit Cuba since Calvin Coolidge in 1928. He's hoping the historic visit will jumpstart a new relationship between the United States and the communist nation.
It's a historic opportunity to forge new agreements and commercial deals, to build new ties between our two peoples, and for me to lay out my vision for a future that's brighter than our past.
But only hours before he arrived in Cuba and toured Old Havana with his family, police clashed with human rights protesters. At least 50 demonstrators were arrested. Mr. Obama plans to discuss human rights when he meets with President Raul Castro. Republican presidential candidate Ted Cruz tweeted support for the Cuban people and criticized the visit, writing in Politico, quote, "Political prisoners languishing in dungeons across the island will hear this message. Nobody has your back. You're alone with your tormentors. The world has forgotten about you. There will be no mojitos at the U.S. Embassy for them." Raul Castro denies their very existence. And GOP presidential frontrunner Donald Trump says he supports a new relationship with Cuba, but suggests President Castro should have greeted the president when he arrived.
There was nobody there to greet him. Folks, what are we doing? What are we doing? What are we doing? Now, here's how a thing like that is supposed to work. Number one, he has his people call up, say, who's going to be greeting the president? If they say nobody, you don't go until somebody's there because you don't want to look like a fool.
But not everyone is critical. American Alan Gross, released from a Cuban prison a year ago, told me the president's visit is a courageous move.
You sat in a prison cell for 5 years. Is it the right course?
Well, absolutely. If we had had diplomatic relations 55 years ago, 50 years ago, 45 years ago, 6 years ago, I might not have had to forfeit 5 years of my life. The whole idea of constructive engagement helps to avoid circumstances like this. And people who are critical of the process that we've recently gone through really need to take a look at that.
President Obama's visit will conclude Tuesday with a televised speech to the Cuban people, attendance at a baseball game, and a possible meeting with political dissidents. Gary Lane, CBN News.
There is a lot of history. There is a lot of history. There's a lot of history going on right now, and you pay very close attention because what's happening, I mean, it's never happened before in 88 years. Mm-hmm. I mean, you have political prisoners that are still in Cuba. Many people are divided. You have a huge Cuban population in Miami, but really, I mean, huge Cuban Americans all throughout the United States. When I was in New Jersey and in New York, plenty of so many Cubans. And they have so many of their loved ones, family members that are still trapped in Cuba. It's a dictatorship. And this is the beginning, hopefully, of a freer Cuba. In fact, my understanding is that Google just made a deal to get Wi-Fi and infrastructure into the nation. So with information and access to it, things are going to, I believe, change rapidly. Well, Steve, I'm reminded, the Bible says that many, many are the plans in a man's heart. But you know, it's God who has the final step always. And everything's Father-filtered. And although man may think they have their own plan for doing things, God has an interesting way of making situations turn out for his will, for his desire, and for the things that God wants to accomplish, not only in your life, but in the earth today. And so when we're looking at Cuba, we're seeing our president visiting the nation and seeing, you know, what's going to happen as a result. But I want to quickly talk about and have this connected dots moment where Greg and I talked about a prophecy that was shared by Rick Joyner regarding a powerful revival that's coming to Cuba. Now, they're already in the midst of some outpouring already, but this is not what Rick Joyner prophesied. What's about to come is totally transformational. I mean, it's going to take Cuba, it's going to transform Cuba in such a way that it's not going to just have a spiritual impact, but it's going to affect the economy and all, just, it's going to be modern. Mm-hmm. Cuba's going to be modern. It's going to be a massive, massive move, which is pretty amazing because some of the things that right now are happening in Cuba are not good. But when you start crying out to God, when people realize that, listen, I don't have things and stuff and material possessions and things are, you know, they are free from distractions and shiny objects, they have the chance to say, listen, I need to get right. I mean, this is not about this stuff. I need to find the Lord in all of this. And maybe that's an encouragement for you, that maybe you think that it has been about things or stuff, or maybe you're in a situation today where you've lost some things and you're just like, where do I go from here? Listen, you're not lost. God's arm is not too short that he can't reach out to you, mm-hmm. or his ear is not too dull that he can't hear you. God loves you, and he has a plan for your life, just like he has a plan for the Cubans in Cuba. I want you to watch as Greg and I talk about this prophecy and what God has in store for the nation of Cuba. Watch this.
I'm so excited about Cuba and what's being prophesied over Cuba, right?
Pretty amazing to think that this country who's had a dictator, Fidel Castro, for many, many years.
Still
does. Over the 60s, right? His brother Raul has taken the leadership. And it's been a closed country to the West, to the United States. And yet to find out through this prophetic word that we'll be sharing with you by Rick Joyner, that revival is coming to Cuba.
And a lot of people might not know, too, that there that you could not trade with Cuba. You couldn't go to Cuba until just a few hours ago.
Yeah.
You know, for 50 years, it was closed off. They're driving around in cars that are from the 50s.
From the 1950s. Buildings that have been constructed from back then. Very, very poor. And to know that people that were once held captive are not going to be set free, it's going to be a beautiful thing to watch and to see.
Well, it is. And I think about what I think about this particular church, that the church there in Cuba, we're talking about is as well, how they thrived during that time.
Yes.
Which is amazing. It's like,
under oppression with less money.
Will it take a dictator for the church to thrive again? I don't know. But listen to this prophetic word now from Rick Joyner, Morningstar Ministries, about Cuba. Maybe that's why the Lord these sanctions have been lifted. This would be 862 about this prophetic word by Rick Joyner about what is taking place in prophetically in Cuba.
But I had a dream about Cuba in 2009. And there was a revival in Cuba. Now, in this dream, I was in this very ultra-modern grocery store. And if you've been to Cuba lately, I don't think there is anything ultra-modern down there. I mean, the cars are still from the 50s. It's like they were caught in a time warp. And but anyway, in this dream, I was in this super-modern grocery store, and everything there was so nice and so modern. But what captured my attention more than anything else is everybody there was talking about the Lord, and that's all anybody wanted to talk about. They were so touched and so infatuated with God. Now, this was a pure revival. It's like you felt the purity, and you felt this is, you know, revivals normally come with all kinds of people trying to come and use them, manipulate them. You've got, you know, there's people that are trying to use them to build their own ministry. All kinds of people flock to revivals, some of the best and some of the worst. You've got, you know, you just have that there. It's usually pretty messy. It wasn't this way in Cuba. It's like everything was so nice, but God was still the passion of their heart. And now, he showed me a lot of things about Cuba since then. Showed me that this revival, it would touch the whole nation, transform the whole nation. It would also ignite, I think, what is going to be the greatest revival of the church age, which is going to break out in Russia. And I was also shown that back in the 1970s, actually. I was first shown about the coming revival in Russia. It would be the biggest of all time. Now, Cuba's was pure, but it wasn't that big. But a few of the things the Lord has shown me since about Cuba is it is going to become some of the most valuable property in the world is going to be in Cuba. And it is also going to be some of the safest property in the world. It's going to become a very safe nation. And I believe when this revival comes down there, God is going to have in place a leadership with the wisdom and the discernment to keep out businesses that should not be allowed in. Just corrupt leaders, corrupt types of business, all kinds of things. God has a jealousy for the purity of the whole nation. And I think we're going to have in Cuba an example of what the Great Commission really looks like if you disciple a nation. That's the Great Commission, to disciple nations, not just individuals. But if you could just think about that for a minute, just think about, you know, all the years they've been under communism, and all of a sudden it's like a fresh, clean slate to start all over on. And think about all that we've learned in our republic and given those lessons to them along with the mistakes. Look, this is where we got off track. This is where we didn't do right with this. We, you know, I think our core constitution is the greatest instrument of government ever given on the earth, with the exception of what was given through Moses. And give it to a country where here are all the good things, here are the traps you don't want to fall into. This is how we fell in. Just think of how we could disciple a nation, both spiritually, of course, but how about economically? How about in government? And that's what I believe is called the whole message of this life. And but it's coming. Now, I'm saying this because when the Iron Curtain came down, the body of Christ wasn't very ready for it. And we mobilized and mobilized fast, and a lot of great things were done, a lot of great movements. People just went over there and did everything. But I think we could have done much better had we been prepared beforehand, had all the materials in the different languages, and had the teachers ready and the pastors. And now there were a few that were, but not many. And the cults were better prepared than the church in many ways. And they took advantage of a lot of criminals, criminal elements, the opportunists. And I don't think the Lord wants that to happen. I know he doesn't want that to happen to Cuba. He wants to keep out the opportunists. But he wants people to go, he wants people to be prepared to help disciple a nation. There are multitudes that are going to come to the Lord. There, I think there's great economic potential in Cuba. There's all kinds of possibilities. It's a wonderful, beautiful place, absolutely phenomenal place. But he has a jealousy about it. The Lord is jealous for the purity of what happens in Cuba. And I'm just saying all that now because it looks like they're just slowly opening up a little bit. But I think there's going to be a point when things start to happen fast, and we need to be prepared.
This is so exciting when you see what's taking place. I think about when the Iron Curtain came down in Russia, what happened? Business and opportunity, and sad to say, a lot of negative opportunity, just rushed in. Now imagine revival being in Cuba, God moving in a powerful way, and godly, you know, businesses coming in, just thriving. It's so exciting what God can do. When we get back, we're going to talk about how the church has been thriving under this dictator in Cuba. Who would have ever thought? And it's so beautiful, you know, how God is preparing to bless Cuba. And I really believe, John, it's because the church has been, you know, going after God during this time of oppression. And for 50 years, you know, that the church has thrived under Fidel Castro and this dictator leadership. Isn't that amazing?
Really amazing. You know, it really encouraged me when he said that he was in a super modern grocery store, because it reminded me when I lived in New Jersey, my neighbor's wife is from Cuba. And when her mother came to visit the United States, the things that she was going to bring back to Cuba to show of her trip were the newspaper clippings, the coupons of all the wonderful foods that we have in America.
We are so blessed.
We're so blessed. And to know that that complete transformation, even to the business sector, is going to happen in Cuba, it's very encouraging.
Take a look at this. This is the Cuban church thriving behind these sanctions that was going on under the suppression. And it looks like prophetically, according to what the Lord revealed to Rick Joyner, that they're going to have revival. God has heard their cry. Take a look.
As relations between the United States and Cuba begin to thaw, a surprising spiritual reality is emerging. The Cuban church is thriving. As Mark Martin tells us, several denominations are reporting amazing growth.
In the midst of an oppressive regime and incredible poverty, the church in Cuba is exploding. In the past 20 years, Baptist churches have grown from several hundred to more than 7,000. Assemblies of God churches once numbered less than 100, and now more than 10,000 are proclaiming the gospel.
The church not only survived, but in the midst of those pressures and difficulties, it grew. It grew solid.
At the core of Cuba's church growth, house churches across the island. That's because back in the 1990s, the Cuban government told churches they could not build any new buildings. The effect? Church growth became very, very easy as Christians simply began meeting in homes. CBN News producer and Latin American expert Stan Jeter recently visited Cuba on a missions trip and explains the phenomenon.
Since they didn't have to focus on building a church or having a property, they were free to just go ahead and evangelize and start meeting in someone else's home.
Believe it or not, many also believe that Cuba's poverty has fueled its church growth. With many Cubans existing on less than $30 a month, there's simply not the money to pursue entertainment, hobbies, or other pursuits that would pull them from the gospel.
One church leader told me that is one of the reasons that church members spend so much time in church activities. They can spend more time evangelizing their neighbors because they're not distracted by a lot of material goods.
Church leaders say one fruit of all this growth is an emerging missions movement in Cuba. Hundreds of believers are considering or planning to head overseas as missionaries. And given their single-minded focus and long-term experience with hardship, they may be uniquely qualified to travel to new lands to spread the gospel. Mark Martin, CBN News.
Think about it, man. From 100 churches to 10,000 churches under this oppression, making $30 a month average in income. And notice that they did it outside of buildings, just regular homes. They were meeting in homes.
Amazing. God was enough.
They went from 100 to 10,000.
Amazing.
Yeah. Under a dictator like Fidel Castro. Think about that.
That's huge.
It's amazing when you're looking, you think, so there's nothing to worry about. It's just got to get rid of the distractions.
Yeah.
Maybe what's coming to America is the removal of all the distractions. I think about this. I think about, in the business sector and working in business, if you're working in sales or that type of thing and you're trying to motivate a sales force, you find out that if they'll just get rid of the distractions, because they say they're busy, but the reality is they're busy watching TV, playing games, staring at the wall. I mean, they're not busy at all. I mean, how many people are riding their cars at a rapid, risking a ticket, a huge ticket of speeding, only to go home and do nothing? And so when you're in sales, you actually have to convince people, if you'll just give up your distractions for about 3 years, you can be an independent, wealthy businessman. I mean, you have to convince them. Really, you do.
Yeah.
You have to, if you're competing with entertainment, with people in the business sector, and it's like, I want you to be successful. All you got to do is just shut off, the entertainment aspect of that thing's going on. Stay informed, but just take that time and move that into productivity. Well, God did that with the church, it looks like. What the enemy meant for evil, God turned around for good, because they didn't have those things in Cuba, and they grew. The church grew.
We have a chance. We have a moment. It's a window for the church to be mobilized into Cuba. Listen, right now, Google is making deals to get the internet in Cuba. You've got hotel companies that are redoing and reconstructing hotels. You've got airline companies that are negotiating airlines and travel, and it's time for the church to be prepared. Listen, maybe it's you. Maybe you feel you have a call to the mission field. Maybe you want to be part of historic church plant in the nation of Cuba. Listen, when the Iron Curtain came down, they said everyone went there first, including Playboy and all these other just horrible, evil things. And the church was taken by surprise. We don't have to be taken by surprise. We can be prepared now. So when we get the countdown, 3, 2, 1, we're ready to go and do what Jesus told us to do, make disciples of nations. Can you imagine, Steve, discipling the nation of Cuba, not just spiritually, but in all seven mountains, education, family, government, media, arts and entertainment, and seeing that as a model city for what can happen in a country, a model nation, when they invite God, his presence, and his ways.
That's the very thing that Jesus called us to do. A lot of times we lose sight of the impact. We might be talking to one person, but we don't realize is that the gospel that Jesus gave us, he says that it's known by signs, wonders, and it's a demonstration of his power.
Yeah.
And it's just like, imagine to know the fact that the person you're talking to, you are going to impact a nation. And the thing about that, like, we can transform an entire culture. And I love that when you see this story, you realize the fact that the kingdom is not dependent upon your economy.
No.
Go and declare the truth and the love of Jesus Christ.
That's right, because God has his own economy.
You've just been listening to the highlights from VFN-TV and the Daily Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Listen or watch more programs and check out the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com. Don't forget about our VFN-TV app, where no matter where you are, you can take the light with you and share it with your friends. We want to thank our sponsors and partners who make this program possible. Take the time and support our sponsors. You can locate them at VFNTV.com and select sponsors. If you'd like to become a sponsor or a partner, you can do so at VFNTV.com. VFNTV and the Daily Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light.